cheese and crackers.
Hey guys, this is Belle and I'm here with Bird.
Hello.
And we are here again for another episode of Kink Talk. This is episode two. So I had some ideas of what we might talk about this time, and funnily enough, it sort of lines up to what we are going to talk about. Today I found the BDSM test online and I took it, and it was pretty scarily accurate in my results, other than a couple of things that I think the questions might have been a little skewed in one perspective, and I'll talk about that. But I took it, and then I texted Bird, and I said, hey, do you want to take this test? And so she took it. And we discussed after via text very briefly, but we had sort of similar results, which is sort of funny because we've never really talked about any of this stuff, particularly, except for last time. So we are here hanging out in my living room with Campari sodas. Yeah, no wine. Cheers. No wine tonight. Yum. And we're going to talk about the test and where you can take the test, and we'll kind of get into some of the kinks talked about in here and probably ramble on about some other things. So the BDSM test asks you, initially when you sign up, you have to specify your sex, gender, age, country, if you're in the U.S., your state, sexual orientation, and your main BDSM orientation, which I'm curious to know what yours is. So when you start the test, it asks you all these things. The sexual orientation, what did you put? I'm really curious.
So it says
strictly heterosexual. Okay, sorry. It gives you all these options. Prefer not to disclose. Strictly heterosexual. Heteroflexible, bicurious. Bisexual, pansexual. Homoflexible. Strictly lesbian, gay. Asexual, or none of the above.
Bipan.
Bipan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm heteroflexible, bicurious. Bipan. See, I was like, what is she gonna be?
Bipan.
That makes sense. And then it asks you your main orientation. So when you went into it, did you go in and say that you were a dom, a sub, or an other?
I think I did sub at first.
And then you realized that you weren't.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the test results said otherwise. So I was like, oh, well, thank you.
So we're gonna pull up our test results because we both have them with us, and we will talk about that. So I want you to tell me, what were your top five test results and what percentile were you? Because basically, if you're over 50%, then that means you're higher than average, I assume, right? I
mean, right.
You can get 100% on something. I know you can, because I got really close on one thing.
And I was surprised that I didn't get closer on certain things, but my top five was a 96% voyeur, 93% switch, 92% experimentalist, 85% rope bunny, and 78% exhibitionist, which I think is kind of a large-ish gap.
Yeah, the 86%?
85 to 78.
Mine were in like the 80s to high 90s. So we have a lot of the same ones in our top, which is probably why we get along so well. I was 98% switch, did not surprise me. 96% voyeur, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense since we both like the audio porn.
Right?
90% rope bunny, 87% non-monogamist, 83% experimentalist. So those are my top five. And I'm not really surprised by any of those. At all, really. The rope bunny, it's not just rope. It includes, like, cuffs, restraints, any sort of being tied up or restrained. And what's kind of funny is that the two below that, my 73% was rigor, so I also like to tie people up.
See, and mine, like I guess, like, 6-7 was 75% non-monogamous, but also 75% rigor.
Really? So mine were 80% primal hunter. I like to hunt, and then rigor. So those are my top ones, and those are all in green. They have it as a scale too, of a color scale depending on where you fall. What were your bottom two?
Bottom two, 6% degrader and 2% degradee.
See, now that's where we differ, because I kind of like degradation a little bit. I'm sort of like a slightly above average on those. My two bottom were pet and vanilla. So I guess I'm not very vanilla. I enjoy it, but I suppose everything else appeals to me more.
Yeah.
So we've never really talked about rope bunnies.
I know, right?
I know. No, I mean, we talked about latex and fishnets. It's funny because I went to this Halloween store. There's a Halloween pop-up near my work, and I went on, earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I, like, walked over there on my lunch break, and they have a whole section set up of tights and, like, like slutty-looking club wear. And they have all these fishnets, and some of them glow in the dark.
Oh, my God.
And I thought about you, and I thought we should go there when Halloween's over because everything's 50% off.
Right. I'm down with that.
So the rope bunny thing, I've always kind of been, like, fascinated by shibari, but I've never tried it.
I should have brought my magazines.
Oh, you should have. Next time.
Next time I'll bring them.
No, but you didn't know we were going to do this when you came over tonight. Yeah. I'm just like, we're going to hang out. And I thought, oh, podcast. You're here. Twice in 1 week.
Yeah.
We never get to hang out twice in 1 week. Okay, so the whole, like, the rigor thing, I've seen videos of it. And it's kind of, like, terrifying and fascinating to me at the same time because, you know, other types of bondage, of course, I've done, but, like, the whole person who's, like, an expert in rope tying, I've never been with somebody who's done that, so.
See, and, like, I tried to get a partner to experiment with that because we bought, like, those, like, nylon ropes, which I still have, I went as far as to, like, start looking up, like, nautical, like, knot tying classes.
Okay.
Because there are those knots that you can learn that will tighten depending on, like,
right. They'll tighten so you can't get away.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to learn. But I think it got, like, too real for this partner. And he was like, oh, I don't know.
Is this who I think it is?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, as far as we went was, like, we came up with this rig for our bed where we had, it was like nylon ropes with a cuff. So, I mean, it was just like a sliding cuff for wrists and ankles that we just kind of like, when we switched out our bed frame, we set it up to have this rope rig already in it. And
it was like under bed restraints, but you made it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, we just really like rigged the crap out of it. Just so that they were there already whenever the mood struck, because like before it would be like, well, it was a big production to like find the ropes and find the cuffs and like, where were they and blah, blah, blah.
And well, and it probably takes you out of the moment too, if you don't have it ready when you're like, oh, I want to do this right now.
Right.
Let's spend 20 minutes setting this
like
up.
Like, trying to set it up. And then you're, like, building IKEA furniture, and you're just, like, ready to, like, break up at the end of it. You know?
I didn't have anything that elaborate. I sort of missed, I had this IKEA bed that had these poles, kind of horizontal poles.
Yeah.
And I miss it, because my bed frame now is really fancy and nice and adult. But I can't. I'm going to have to, like, find some sort of system to go under it. Mm-hmm. But I had these Velcro handcuffs that you had put together or you could separate.
Yeah.
And you could either attach it that way or you could have it together. So, and you could get out of them if you wanted to. So mm-hmm. it was, like, safe play.
Yeah.
I miss using those.
Yeah.
And just today, I'm going to have to give a shout out to this jewelry designer. Have you heard of Zanna Bain?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Zanna Bain is like, she's based out of New York, and she does like high fashion BDSM leather, like chokers and cuffs and like harnesses. Oh my God. And she just did this collab with, oh shit, what was the name of it? I was looking at stuff and like all the stuff I wanted was sold out. I was so sad because I wanted to buy this like harness thing. And oh God, her stuff is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that Russian brand, but a lot more affordable.
Okay.
There's this Russian brand that Rihanna's a really big fan of. It's a lot like that, but it's more affordable.
With leather or?
Leather.
Okay.
It's like leather and like really nice metalware. So it's a lot of stuff that you can actually wear as jewelry, but you can also be like, oh.
Like secret, like covert ops.
Covert like. Ops, like like chokers with D-rings and O-rings that someone could clip a
right.
A rope or like a leash too.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's really nice. Like, I would actually wear it out or yeah. wear the harness over a top. And yeah, so I was looking at that stuff today. I was like getting really like, oh, I want to wear this leather bra over this
that would
kind
be
of see-through shirt. I know.
Like, I got really excited when those like harnesses started coming out, like the girls are wearing over their tops or whatever. Because that's like all the crap that I used to wear underneath. And now I'm like, what the fuck? I don't have it anymore.
I saw these things today and they were like harness headpieces with cat ears on them.
Yeah.
And bunny ears on them. I hadn't seen that before. It was fascinating to me. But they also have all these like cage skirts that are all leather cage skirts. Oh, they're just, there's one with a ballerina and her, she's got this cage skirt on.
Aww.
It's like an all leather cage skirt. And
yeah.
It's so sexy. but back to the Shibari stuff. I was watching this video and they don't have anything like that here. I feel like we're sort of lacking of that in the U.S. because everything's basically based out of Europe.
Yeah.
So I don't know any good riggers in America. Like,
and that's
where am I going to go like, find a rigger?
You'd probably have to go to like what? Like the big two.
Russia?
New York or L.A.
Oh,
well,
maybe.
If you want to get in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because
This is not me saying if you're a rigger, contact me. I'm just saying out of curiosity, like this is not a thing in the U.S. Not really. Like all of the rope fests and whatever, they're all in Europe.
They're all in Europe.
Right.
Unless you like somehow find something, like I just happened to stumble across like a skin to the magazine.
Yeah, the one you were telling me about last time.
Launch party in the early 2000s, maybe. And it was by total accident. And I was like, because I missed a certain club's heyday around here.
The one that I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I feel like I missed out on it.
That club, I was standing in line to, there's this club, this famous club where we live in the city. And I was standing in line to get there and my friend forgot their ID. And so we had to turn around and I never got to go.
Yeah. Well, and I never got to go because all my friends were like, oh, this dumb, blah, blah, blah.
No, I really wanted to go to that club.
I did too.
Oh, God.
And so I tried to like hijack their like reunion night, but like some other stuff came up where I couldn't go to that either. So I thought that this like magazine launch party would be kind of the same. And it kind of was, but I just felt like because there weren't a whole lot of people that the scene wasn't that huge.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's like, maybe that's why the club had to shut down. It's as big as you would think.
You think so? There was always a line. It was like the line snaking out in the parking lot. Everyone was wasted. They stayed up until back then when bars could stay open really, really late here.
Yeah.
Which isn't really something they can do anymore.
Yeah.
Not in this county.
No. Which sucks.
One thing I wanted to like get into was the whole DDLG thing because this test... It talks a lot about the questions being very centered on being very childlike.
Mm-hmm. Like hanging out at playgrounds.
Hanging out at playgrounds.
Which I was like, what?
The whole childlike thing
of
dressing up and I think like the whole teddy bear aspect of DDLG. And okay, so I know we sort of like talked about it before, not in the podcast, but it's something that I've discovered that I enjoy. But I don't, that's not the aspect of it that I enjoy. Like the age aspect, I can pretty much take it or leave it.
Yeah.
The incest part of it, I don't like at all.
Yeah.
Personally, that doesn't do anything for me. It's sort of like more of a mindset you get into. And the test, the BDSM test, didn't address that. So, like on mine, it has me as girl boy 16%. And I'm like, no, that's not quite right because the whole good girl thing should be a little higher for me, but based on the questions of the test, I didn't really agree with that part of it.
See, and my girl boy is 24%, and I'm just kind of like...
Do you think if they asked different questions, it would be higher for
you? I think so.
Yeah, because I think that whole... Okay, I'm sorry, but someone saying good girl in the right voice does things to me, so...
Well, see, and I think it's also situational, because a lot of the questions I had to, like, go middle of the road, because I was like, well, it depends on the situation.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's not a perfect test. I think, for the most part, it got a lot of it right. And I think it's funny that, like, dominant, submissive are very close in percentage for me, which makes sense if I'm a switch. But then degrader and degradee are very similar for me.
Mm-hmm.
Brat tamer and brat are very close by. So it's like I could be either or in here, which is
I'm kind of like, yeah, the same-ish.
What really interested me was that my level of masochism, I got a 59%, but on this it says it's lower than most women. And I was like, really? Because I cannot consider myself able to tolerate pain, but I think that some of the questions were like very extreme on the amount of pain.
Yeah.
And I think that they were weighing that a little more heavily. That's my only gripe with that, I think, really. But
that's why I'm anxious to take it again.
And I want to take it again, too. I think that it's funny that, like, owner is higher for me than vanilla. Like, owning someone.
See, and I'm surprised that it's as low as it is for me, even though that's also situational.
Right.
Because I mean, I could totally...
It's a big emotional investment.
Yeah.
Owning a slave.
Right. But also, like, if you own a slave just to, like, have a slave. Like, part of me wants that.
Like, really?
A big part of me does.
Is that something that interests you?
Yes.
See, that's not, like, really totally. That's not really a big kink for me, and it's like 31% of mine, so I don't know if I agree with it necessarily. I feel like I agree that I'm more of a sadist than an owner, which is funny because my sadist score is lower. Well, barely, just kidding. But the whole hunter-prey thing kind of excites me in a weird way that I didn't think about until I was answering the question.
Yeah.
Like being hunted and being preyed upon,
uh-huh.
Which I think is why I told you I write scripts. Right. Sometimes too, and some of my scripts are very like stalkery and creepy.
Yeah,
that's probably why.
I think I have more of those kinds of like fantasies, but my hunter was like 55.
That's still a little higher than average, probably. Maybe not. We don't have to strictly stick to this summary. I just thought it was an interesting turning point since we had some of the same scores. Like
yeah.
the voyeur score. I'm looking at this this handy chart here that you're going to go back and look at.
Yeah.
So apparently you and I both got a 96% for voyeur.
Mm-hmm.
And on here it says it's exceptionally high among all participants. We are in the top 4%.
So, but that sounds so weird because you would think that voyeurism is like super
no,
high.
Apparently we're just perfs.
I'll take it.
Fine by me.
Yeah.
Among women, we're in the top 2%. Being voyeurs.
I like it.
Also, the whole non-monogamous thing is like where I scored was I'm in the top 8% of women.
Yeah.
Of that, I guess women are less prone to that than men, but
I thought I would be higher, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I know myself. It didn't shock me at all. Exhibitionist, I think I was higher than I thought I would be.
Mm-hmm. Me too on that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because they define it strictly as
yeah.
Is nudity and sexual,
mm-hmm.
But I think that there's a lot more to that.
Well,
term.
I was thinking of like a specific experience that I had that made me realize how much I enjoy it.
Oh, okay. Do you want to talk about that? You don't have to. You don't feel pressured.
I mean, I can.
We can talk about one thing that I did that you probably don't want to hear about.
Well, this is something that I'm like proud of to a degree, but I'm not because
proud
of the
because
situation.
Proud of because you did it?
Because I did it.
Okay.
I went to a swingers club.
Oh. Wait, did you tell me this?
No.
No? Okay, someone else told me about a swingers club experience. It wasn't you.
And like at first it was like really awkward just because it was like, well, I'm not ready for this or whatever, but like, once more people started coming in, it was, like, really chill, and they encouraged a bunch of stuff. Like people who had been there before were like, why are you so shy, blah, blah, blah. And I got more into it, and then there was this girl who was kind of, like, I guess she was, like, messing around with a bunch of guys, and I, like, really enjoyed watching her do that, but then the person I was with got upset because I was getting propositioned more than he was. And I think that he was trying to get...
It was a jealousy thing.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, dude, like, this is the whole point that we came here. So, but, like, me and the person I went with ended up having sex in, like, this one room that was, like, nothing but beds and mirrors. And it kind of, like, started the flow of people, like, having sex in the same room. And I just really enjoyed, like... the communal aspect of it.
Right.
But then at that point, it was just like the dude who I was with couldn't get it up anymore because he was so drunk. He was jealous. He was upset. I think he was trying to get with the girl that was getting with everyone but him or whatever.
Yeah.
And then too drunk because it was a BYOB situation.
Right.
We had our own bottle of tequila and he ended up drinking like most of it. And it was just like, ugh. Like I really wish that he hadn't tarnished that.
I think that your regrets are more along his actions and not your own.
Well, I was really excited that I had that experience because I wanted to experience something like that.
Right.
But I think it was more of like, I hate that I did it with him because he was such a downer on that.
Right.
And I feel like it was a wasted experience, but not at the same time.
No, because you have the story to tell about it.
Yeah, and the people who I talked to were super nice.
Yeah.
So it was like he had the shit experience only because, like, he did that to himself.
So you weren't really going there to, like, find another couple? You were just going to see what it was like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had talked about getting a membership before we had ever gone, and I was like, whoa, dude, slow down.
Jumping feet first down into the community.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. So, I never told you this, but I haven't gone to a swingers club. Not that I wouldn't. I sort of have a fantasy of being like a couple's third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Like, I think that would be fun. But I think that, like, that would be interesting to be, like, the third. Although I saw that. Have you seen that show called Easy on Netflix yet?
Yeah.
You see the episode about, what's her name?
Yeah.
What's her name?
I just remember the episode with Orlando Bloom.
That was the one with Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
It was him and Malin Ackerman and what's her name? Kate from
I know
Garfunkel and Oates. Yeah. So she's your third.
That's like my most favorite episode
It's so good. So I think about that and in reality, that's probably how it would be like.
Right.
Like you're like, oh, this really hot couple and they're into me and I'm into them. And
it's like
pass me around.
In and out. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
like,
I want to.
Not fully 100%.
Yeah. I've never slept with a woman. Like, I've always wanted to. It just hasn't happened. And I always still kick myself about my one friend back in, God, how long ago is that? I wrote a script about her and everything. Oh, God. I had such a crush on her. And she was like, you're too straight.
You're too straight.
But I'm like, just make a move on me. I'm too scared. I never did. And
see, and I had the opposite problem because I actually found.
I know. I remember when you made out with that girl at the birthday party I brought you to.
Well, before that, when I was moving, I found some journals and I was like, oh, let's go down memory lane. And I found like a huge period of time where I was like in love with one of my friends from college. And every entry was like, I'm going to tell her that I love her today. And then like. When she came to visit, because she lived in another state, when she came to visit, like, we were, like, making out in her hotel room, but it didn't go any further, and I wanted to tell her, but I just couldn't, because she started, like, IMing some dude, and it made me kind of upset, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, and I was just like, whoa, all the angst on this page.
Yeah, I feel like a bitch, because I really wanted to hook up with this friend of mine, and she, God, and I think she's married now. I was seeing this kind of dick of a guy, sort of seeing him, and there was a party, and she and I were drunk and we pretended to be asleep on the sofa, and we were holding hands in her blanket and giggling,
aww.
And I, like, so wanted her to kiss me, and she didn't, and then the guy who was such a dick, like, came out of his bedroom, and the party was in his house, and he's like, come to bed with me, and, like, pretend to be asleep, and I thought I'd gotten rid of him, and he wouldn't leave me alone, and he kept coming back to waking me up because he wanted me to sleep with him. And I left her on the sofa, and I woke up, and she wasn't there in the morning, and I just always regretted it. Like, I think, and I woke up in the morning, she was gone, and I was sort of devastated, like, yeah, I totally ruined that chance that I had. And I saw her years later, and she was engaged, and her fiancé was with her, and he was this, like, old, skinny skater punk kid that remembered her from our partying days. And she said, he's jealous of you. And I was like, God damn it. Why didn't we ever fucking hook up? I'm so upset about that.
Aww.
God, she was like gorgeous and cool. And she had little nicknames for me. And I had, look at the pictures of us. And it's like so obvious we were into each other. And we just didn't do anything.
That's the same with me.
Oh, God, it sucks, doesn't it?
And I always get so upset because like our mutual friend also knew her. And he was like, you guys like.
Should be together.
Yeah. Mm. Or at least, like...
Is this someone in college, I guess, that you both knew? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he was always like, oh, I can feel it when you guys are both in the same room. And it was just like, oh, what do I do?
Regrets. I don't have a lot of regrets about my past, but that's one. Like, of course, I sort of slutted it up in high school and college.
Yeah.
I don't say high school because I was such a goody-goody in high school.
I was such a...
You were bad.
I was such a brat.
You were a
brat.
But
I didn't, like... The whole thing is, like, the persona that I tried to have was that, like, I slept around and blah, blah, blah.
So you were trying to appear like a badass, but
But I was a virgin until I was, like, 18.
Yeah.
I, like, was super ultra, like, monogamous.
I was a super prude. I didn't do anything until college. And then I went wild.
Well, see, and in college, I feel like I scaled it back because I was like, I'm focusing on, like,
I feel like of the two of us, I'm the slutty one. But you've done some stuff I haven't done. Because I know you and I talked about stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, all these years when I was, well, you were in a, well, I think about your really long-term relationships, like, longer than my longest, so I guess I had some years on you that I was slutting up a bit.
And I was just kind of, like, taking the long,
I don't know,
the
I,
long road.
I remember college, and I think, like, so you had one summer.
One summer that was, like, the explosion of me. But I was still a virgin.
So you were just kind of fooling around and
stuff?
A
little bit.
All these guy friends I had in college, mm-hmm. I think I only slept with one of them. But I definitely made out with a lot of them.
Yeah.
And some of them saw my boobs, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, I was a lip slut. I'm a self-proclaimed lip slut. I like making out a lot. Making
it's
out
fun.
The best.
It is the best.
So I went to that wedding recently, my old roommate, and she was in town, and she got together with me and another girlfriend of mine that you've met, and we were all talking about things, and she's like, yeah, so three of the women that are invited to my wedding, I've had sex with. And she's like, and my fiance knows, and it's a guy. I thought that was funny. Like, she's just inviting all of her former sexual partners to her wedding.
Yeah.
And so we were sitting around, me and our other girlfriend. She and I were sitting at the same table during the reception or before the wedding started. And I said, who do you think the three are that she slept with? And she goes, let's wait and see who shows up late. And we laughed because it was so true. Like,
yeah.
The three that show up late are going to be the ones that she's fucked, basically.
Busted.
But it was funny. She was gorgeous, but I just think it's funny. And I didn't know anyone there other than my friend. It was, I don't know. Everyone's getting married, having babies.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know you're not a baby person.
I'm not.
Which is probably why you don't want to be an owner. Except
probably.
You do want to own a slave.
Well,
you want to own a slave, not a child.
I kind of do. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think, like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know, that really would be helpful. Because some of the questions were like, would you have a partner that is in charge of the household, like cleaning and cooking? And I was like, man, you know, that sounds really
good. Yeah, you wash all the dishes.
Yeah, do the laundry, clean the bathroom, like all that.
Yeah,
I'm down for that.
I will say that, like, I know where everything is, but I really hate cleaning.
It depresses me. Cleaning really stresses me out more than anything.
When everything's chaotic, I can't think straight and I get anxiety, but I don't like cleaning. It's funny. It's like a give and a take. One thing I'm surprised it wasn't on that test was the whole impreg fetish.
Yeah.
Impregnation.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that, like, if someone talks about giving me a baby, I'm like, nope, hold the phone. That makes it way too real. That makes it way too real. Let's not talk about the rest of our lives raising a child together right now while you're sleeping.
That's a little intense.
I mean, a lot of people like that sort of thing. I think that this implication of it does a lot for me, like, yeah, come inside me. Other than, I'm going to give you a baby tonight.
Like the long-term effects.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a little too real. You're snapping me out of this fantasy.
Right?
Yeah. You're just this hot guy I'm sleeping with.
Yeah. Like, can it just, like...
Whose personality I like.
Can't be just a bunch of blanks.
Let's not talk about having babies. That's too serious right now. Hold the phone.
Let's take a minute. Take a knee.
Yeah, so that wasn't in there, which I find interesting.
Thank goodness it wasn't in there.
Well, I would
have been like, what
the fuck? I mean, the whole daddy-mommy thing was in there.
I think that was pretty close to me, too, because, like, it resonates, but on a different level, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not anything I'm interested in. It's something that I like to see.
You like to see what?
I like to see that dynamic.
You like watching the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird.
No, it's not weird.
It kind of bums me out.
Wait, why does
but
it
not really.
Why does it bum you out?
I don't know, because it's weird. Like, when you put, like, the puzzle pieces together, and you're like, oh, okay. But at the same time, it's like, well, I'm not going to shut it off.
Are you talking about, like, a big age gap of it? Like, that sort of age play thing?
No, not the age gap.
Then what do you mean? Like, the dynamic?
Just the dynamic of, like...
Watching the dynamic?
Daddy, daughter, like, knowing that.
But it's not daughter.
Like...
It's not daughter, it's little girl. There's difference.
Yeah.
I can't do daddy-daughter in my head. The incest thing doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me.
See, I like to think of it as, like, friend's dad. Like, that in that way.
Oh, well, that's hot.
Because everyone had, the hot dad, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that goes along with the hot teacher fetish, too.
Yeah.
I had a really, really hot English teacher in high school, and he was not that old.
Yeah.
He was
the worst.
I was 18, and he was in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like in his class and I did well, and you know, I never did anything bad. I was way too much of a terrified prude to try anything. But I think about it, and he coached the girls' soccer team, mm-hmm. and everyone had a crush on him.
Of course.
Yes. Ah. He was like, what, 26, and we were all 18. Like, that age gap's not fair for one.
That feels like.
But you're also talking to someone. My aunt married her college English professor, so. The women in my family have, like, a history of going after, like, older, powerful men. Yeah. Like, my grandparents, I think about my mom's mother, mm-hmm. like, he was so much older than her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think...
But like, back then, though, I guess it was more accepted.
In my family, it's, like, the women that are, like, slightly older, not by much. Like, a year or two or something.
Majority of my relationships have been with younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got a little sidetracked here. So I guess that we've sort of rambled a bit here. And
maybe a little.
Our semi-focused discussion this time was a little bit more focused. So if you want to take the BDSM kink test, you need to go to the following website. It is bdsmtest.org. And it's pretty detailed. They range from... voyeur switches, monogamy, experimentalizing, dom sub, exhibitionist, degrading, masochism, sadism, brats, brat tamers, age play, all of this stuff. And they ask you very detailed sets of questions. And it's interesting. So check out the test and see if you... agree with the results, because I agree with mine mostly.
Yeah, I mostly agree with mine.
For the most part, I'm not surprised. I'm just surprised at the, if you take the test on this site and you click on view my PDF, it gives you a chart and it tells you where you are in relation to other people of your gender and your age range. And that's what surprised me.
Yeah. See, and that's what I missed when I took it the first time. So that's the main reason why I want to take it again.
Yeah.
Is to see the you need actual to see breakdown.
It'll make you feel like a freak. I look at this and it's like, oh, dominant. I'm way more dominant than most women's median right here. And like parts of submission, I'm like lower than. It's just funny how like more women want to be a pet and a slave than I do. And then, but
that's
I'm
interesting.
But I'm way okay with degradation. It's very weird. It's like I'm lower on submission, but I want to be degraded. It's like,
yeah,
but only certain parts of degradation, which is like a real weird.
Right.
Mind fuck thing that I never thought I'd be into, but I'm like, yes, call me a slut. I kind of like it.
Uncovering now. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, sexy boys, call me I'm a slut. So if you want to check that out, it is bdsmtest.org. O-R-G. And thanks you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
Yeah. See you next time. King Talk.
Yay.